The views expressed on this podcast are only those of the individuals featured on the show and do not in any way reflect the official policy of the United States government.
You are listening to the Embassy Wealth Podcast. We believe wealth isn't just about finances and money. It includes health, relationships, and anything else that makes you excited to get up in the morning. We interview members of the foreign affairs community to see how they're building wealth, both personally and financially, no matter where they're posted. This is your host, Tanya Salsa. Let's get to today's show. Welcome to the Embassy Wealth Podcast. And today I am very excited to bring on to the show Christine Lusk. And for those of you that don't know Christine, she is the creator of DiploDash, which many people in the Foreign Service have used. Really interesting concept for a business and something that came out of obviously being a member of the Foreign Service community for quite a number of years, since 2008, actually. And she had this idea thinking, you know, it would be so great if somebody could help me with my pack out, with my consumables. And instead of thinking, why isn't there this service? She decided to create it. So welcome to the show, Christine. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you so much, Tanya. It's an honor to be here. And naturally, I'm a little nervous because I always get nervous talking about this kind of stuff in a public setting.
No worries. I mean, honestly, this is such a huge service for the community that I actually tracked Christine down. I was like, can you please be on this podcast? Because I think it's really cool how, you know, entrepreneurial people can like look at a situation and say, there's a need for this thing, because we constantly hear people saying, oh God, I have pack out or I have this. And she decided to do something about it. So tell us how this idea came about for you. Like, obviously you go through all these moves, like all of us have done at some point. At what point are you sitting there thinking to yourself, I'm going to create this service, or how did it come about exactly?
So that's a wonderful question. The idea to actually turn it into a business happened around our dining room table in 2016 in Bolivia, when we were
good foreign service ideas do, right?
Yes, exactly. Sitting at my Drexel Heritage, beautiful furniture.
Lovely.
We were mapping out our R&R and how we were going to squeeze in our consumables shipment. And we were looking at our scheduling. We knew we had 7 days in Northern Virginia. We were balancing out how we were going to see family, how we were going to see friends, who was going to watch the kids, what kind of car we needed to rent, all of the details that go into planning for it. And I said, I really wish there was just someone to do this for me. So we didn't have to lose this time and I could just give them a list and they would go for it. And so that's where that idea started. And then at that same dining room table, probably a week or so afterwards, we were talking with some friends and I said, you know, wouldn't it be fun to get Trader Joe's care packages at Post? And they're like, yeah, but you can't make a living off of that. And I said, okay, fair enough. But what about, would you pay somebody to do your consumable shipments? And my friend said, now that I would pay for, and that you could do a business around. I kept that kind of conversation and idea with us as we went on to our next post. And I just kept asking people, you know, what do you think about this? Would you pay someone? And certainly got mixed responses. Some people said, oh no, I would never pay for that. That's ridiculous. No way. And I said, great, you're not my target audience. And other people said, yes, please. I would love for this to be available. And knowing that we had in our own moves paid friends, family, and other folks to help us with our packouts, that's where I thought, you know, service is a real thing and people need support and people don't have time or bandwidth or energy to handle all of these things. So that's really where it came from.
Interesting.
That's a very long answer.
No, but I think it's an interesting origin story because, I mean, when you start, at least when I started in the Foreign Service, it was just me as an officer and a dog. And so, you know, PCS didn't seem that troublesome or that big of a problem. I mean, I didn't have much stuff, right? I mean, most of it's books most of the time. So, but then, you know, you get married, you have a child and you have another one and then you have a pet and you have another pet. And all of a sudden, you know, everyone's been in that situation where you're in the airport with like 10 suitcases and you're thinking, well, there's only two of us, like, and you're logistically planning, you're doing all this stuff. And on both ends, it gets difficult, right? And especially I think too, when you come back to the United States, you're getting all this stuff and it isn't the support that you get when you're overseas. So, and I find that it was interesting that as you're thinking about this idea, you're going out and doing what every good business does, which is you're testing the market, right? You're like, hey, would you pay for this? What do you think about this idea? And so you're getting a lot of informal free research, you know, if you will, and you're there in the target demographic, right? So you're asking people and you're getting all of these ideas for your business. So after this happens, right, and you're talking to people, what sort of propels you from, oh, this is just a fun idea that I just, you know, talked about over my Drexel Heritage dining room set to, you know, I think I'm going to do this, you know, because I mean, obviously at this point you're overseas, right? You're in Bolivia. What are you doing? And sort of how does this kind of come about from just idea to actual business?
So at that time, I wasn't working like many family members. I had applied for work. And I can't remember if at that point I had been accepted into a position or not. But certainly if I hadn't been accepted, then I was in that waiting for my clearance and all of that awesomeness that many family members go through.
I don't know if that would be the word that I would use, but sure.
I know. And so I wasn't working, but it was such a new idea. And, you know, I studied business in undergrad. And when I learned about what an entrepreneur is, I said to myself, never in a million years am I going to do that. That is a hard pass. It is not in my personality. It is not who I am. But as we all experience with this life, you change, you grow, and you become a different person, and you become a lot more reliant on yourself and skills that you develop, and you just change because you have to, right? It's by necessity. So I took this idea and I kind of, you know, mulled it over. And to say I mulled it over is really quite simple because it took 5 years from when I was first having those conversations to launch because we then went on to another overseas assignment. And I just could not fathom starting a business from overseas. I don't know how people do it. I am blown away by those who do. And so was waiting for us to get back to the DC area. And so while we moved on to our next onward assignment, it was again kind of throwing the idea around and seeing what people thought and seeing if there was going to be a need. And I did have a few friends who I said, when we knew we were coming back, and I said, do you want me to do your consumables for you? I'll do it for free. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it'll happen. And ironically, those two, they were like, yes, let's do it. But it didn't work out for a multitude of reasons, which is totally fine. But I just made the decision that I had to try. It was a need. I think that people truly benefit from knowing they don't have to go it alone. There was something in me that said, I will never know if I don't try whether or not I can do it. It felt like I had to. There was it, and my husband's very supportive, and my kids, you know, one day they say, this is great. And the next day they are annoyed that I'm not.
But they're, you know, kids. Like, so,
doing,
you know,
everything for them. But yeah.
I mean, I find it really interesting. I resonate a lot about what you said about, you know, you never thought you were going to be an entrepreneur, never thought you were going to be doing any kind of business. And I didn't either. That was the furthest thing from my mind, right? And I really like your comment about how you grow and evolve as a person over time. I mean, I don't know about our listeners here, but I certainly am not the same person I was 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, right? And what you think is possible at one point in your life becomes possible at a later point because you do evolve as a person. So I think that's a really interesting observation. And, you know, I also think that while it is possible to start a business overseas, it generally helps, obviously, if you're in the States, right? So you moved back. And how did you put together sort of the structures and processes of the businesses? Because from everything that I've seen, you know, there's people who start a business and they're just kind of like doing all these things and they don't have any processes, but that's really what a business is. It's a standard procedure of how you handle things, you know, from A to Z, whatever service it is, right? How did you establish that? Because at one point you're like, hey, friends, I'm going to do your consumables for free. I mean, did you do like a checklist? Did you, you know, did you try it out yourself before then offering it as a service? Like, how did you decide how to price it? Like, does it take one person? Does it take two people? I mean, what if people want to go to Trader Joe's and Costco? You know, what if they don't, like, how do you put all that together into a package and offer that as a service?
So that's such a good question. And I at first thought when I came back, I was going to go and get an MBA so I could launch a business. And my friend was like, why on earth would you spend all of that money to launch a business? Don't do that. She's like, why wouldn't you just launch it and try?
I know it.
And I was like, that's great. I love you. I think you're amazing, but I don't know if I can do that. And then I thought about it and I was like, you know, that's a really good point. I'm going to go into debt to start a business, to maybe start a business and then maybe get scared away. Like, that doesn't make any sense. A friend of mine in Addis is a very successful business coach, and she had worked in consulting, and she helps women entrepreneurs. And she and I had a conversation. We had talked about it before, and right before we were getting ready to leave Post, she came over and we talked about it. And she kind of helped me get a guide on pricing. And I literally watched her as she was like, boop, 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 boop. These are the things you need to consider. Okay. All right. This is your starting price. And I said, okay, great. Let's start there.
That works for me.
I have no idea what's going on. And then I did a lot of listening and learning. I'm like a sponge, and I still feel like a sponge with a business, because you learn so, so, so much. You really have no idea what goes into a business until you have your own.
Until you actually do it. Yeah.
Until you actually do it, or you're maybe a family member is an entrepreneur or a spouse, and you really have no idea how much it takes and how much it costs and how all the little things. And it was a lot of research, but definitely a lot of my motivation came from listening to podcasts that are geared towards women entrepreneurs. And over and over and over and over again, the theme I heard was, don't overthink it, just do it. If you want to do it, just do it. And actually, there was an EFM webinar I had gone to that was run by FSI about how to start a business. Mm-hmm. And Leah Evans Moorfield and William Carrington were both on that. And I think it was like August 2019, maybe September. Anyway, in that webinar, they even said, don't try to get all your ducks in a row. You just need to do it, and you figure it out as you go. And that's really a lot of how it is for me. And I mean, I had done multitudes of packouts personally and consumables. I love a spreadsheet. I mean, people make fun of me sometimes, but every post we've been to overseas is a consumables post, and we did more than one consumable. So it wasn't like I was.
Oh, so you were a pro. You were like one of those uber organized people with the spreadsheet. So I'm the exact opposite. I would just be like, okay, I think we need just like, let's just buy a bunch of stuff and send it. I wish I would have known that you were around, but actually it was probably before you launched that. I mean, we were in Hearts Your Posts, but that is interesting. What I find so interesting about your story too, is that unlike a lot of women who start in business, I find that women generally, we tend to like want to know everything before we start. And that is impossible to do when launching a business, because you will never know everything. I think women feel much more comfortable analyzing, looking at it, researching, you know, being very prepared and then going. Whereas I think generally speaking, men are much more comfortable just launching themselves into it, which you need to do as a business owner, because even after you launch, sometimes there are days I'm like, I still don't know what I'm doing here. You know, it's like building the plane while it's flying. And you just roll with it. So I think that's really good advice that you got, not only just from your business coach, but also from podcast. And even though you are overseas, right, there's a lot of wealth of resources that people can tap into. That doesn't mean, you know, oh, because I'm not in the United States, I can't go join this like business group. There's tons of stuff now online. You know, there's lots of stuff available for people that, you know, you can pretty much get any information that you're looking for. So, I mean, the fact that you had a business coach in person in Addis Ababa is incredible and a stroke of luck, right? And someone that could help you, you know, do the pricing. So at this point, you know, you've got your idea, you've got the pricing, and you launch. And what happens? Do you get any clients or customers? Do you have one person? Is it your friends? How does it work?
So I made the announcement inside Trailing Houses and was like stunned by the response. I could not believe that so many people were saying, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I can't wait. Like, sign me up. Let's do it. And so the response was so positive. I was like, okay, I can do this.
This is a thing.
This is a thing. And now I have to do this because I've said I'm doing this.
Yes. And pressure. You're like, oh no.
Pressure.
You're like, wait, I think I wanted this. Oh, do I? Oh no.
Right. Exactly. And so in those first few months, it was a lot of trying to figure out, how do I track leads? How do I respond to leads? What's going on? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this happen? Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out. It's going to be great. And during that initial time, someone reached out to me, and I didn't say anything about care packages at that point. And someone reached out to me and she said, you know, I was talking to my colleagues at Post and we came up with some pricing for you. And
oh, how fun.
You think, but could you do some Trader Joe's care packages? I really need it. I miss it.
Aww.
It would bring me so much joy. And what do you think? And I was so blown away by the thought, the fact that she had taken
the time,
to figure it out for me in so many ways and then say, will you do this? Like, please. And mind you, this is still very early in the pandemic. So, I mean, people are locked down. They can't get stuff. Things were, you know, rocky here in the US, but you could still go to a store and shop. Mm-hmm. And I said, let's try it. Let's do it. Let's go ahead and we're going to give it a shot. And so that's where I got my early clients. And so some people were a little bit critical, saying, well, if you keep doing care packages, you're only going to get care package clients. But I did not see it that way. I saw it as I'm creating visibility for a business and trust within the community.
Absolutely.
By delivering a service on a smaller scale, because my friend years before was correct. It is very difficult to make a profit off of a custom personal shopping care package service. And that's okay. I'm very grateful for all the clients that do request that service. And I'm happy to do it because I do know personally how much it would be appreciated. But and then my first consumables client was a few months later, and it was a holy moly, we're up against our deadline. It's in, you know, 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks. Can you help us? Please, please, please. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a lot. And it was a tandem couple too. And so
they had a decent allowance.
It was their supplemental. It was their last one. So it was under total 2,000 pounds, but there are complications when you're doing a tandem.
That's a lot
shipment.
Of consumables, 2,000 pounds.
That's fairly average.
I mean, like how many Costco shopping carts is that?
Well, I don't usually get to use the carts. I use the flats most of the time.
So
I am very comfortable at this point with all of the looks that you get when you're shopping for 2 years of consumables.
I can imagine they're looking at you, petite lady in line. They're like, wow, she's buying a lot of food. Like, who is she feeding?
Right. Exactly. Like, is she starting a business with a restaurant? What is she doing?
Right.
And that particular couple was super organized. They were like, look, we've already got our list done. We already know here are some stores that we want things to come from. We've already reached out to them. And I said, okay, let's do it. Let's just do it. We'll see. And so that's when I started to get PCS clients. And I call PCS clients like anybody who's doing something that's related to a shipment allowance, right?
Exactly. Like HHE or
HHE, storage access, consumables, you know, supplemental HHE, all of that stuff. And she, out of that client, I got other clients from that same location because they said, hey, how did you do that?
And yeah, it magically arrived.
Magically it happened, right?
Yes. You didn't have to go back to the States. Who did that for you?
Right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You didn't have to use the ELSO lists. What? So yeah, that's where it started. And I'm so grateful that they let themselves get to that point and needed my services. So
awesome. And so at this point you've launched, you've got some test clients coming in. What do you do for marketing and to build your business at this point?
So, I actually studied marketing, but it has evolved like all of us have quite dramatically.
Or so we hope, right? That we're evolving anyway.
Right. Exactly. And I had serendipitously run into a friend in 2019 who was also thinking about starting a business, and she had just gotten her degree in web development and was partnering with someone who is a graphic artist to do websites and to build websites and offer those services. And she, when we were talking, I said, if you need any clients to give you feedback and to work through the process and you're willing to do it for free, it's me, because I have no money.
Yay!
Yay! And so they agreed. And so Jen and Karen helped me through that whole process and they built my website. So my website launched in January of 21. Okay. Because during that time, I did not understand SEOs. I did not understand what the framework for a website should be. I did not understand, do I put in a member portal? Do I not put in a member portal?
Yeah, what's all required? Yeah, there's best practices for sure about websites and right. You know, when clients engage, like when they engage, how does that information make it to you so that it's useful and you respond in a timely manner and you know, you respond in a way that the client is looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And so at that time I was doing loosely some social media. Like you can tell when I'm super busy, when there is nothing showing up in social media or when I am just like in recovery mode, because I just have to pause. It's getting better now that I have somebody helping me with social media, but that's aside. So my marketing was pretty minimal. A lot of it was relying on those care packages
and referrals, and word of mouth. Trailing houses. Mm-hmm.
And I did actually have a family member who is also a business owner respond to, like, send me a note in one of my posts online and said, you know, I recommend not relying solely on trailing houses for your marketing because you really have to control your area, right? And I thought that was interesting. And she said, you know, build it, you know, certainly use the networks, but build your stuff outside of it. So your target audience starts going to you and not having to dig through trailing houses to find you.
That makes sense.
And I thought that was interesting. And I was appreciative of her feedback. And I do try not to overpost in trailing houses because I get it, but it, mm-hmm. You know, being a family member, I have that access.
Yeah, of course.
Not all businesses would.
Yeah, so. For sure. And also too, I mean, it's a direct line to the people that you want to serve, right? I mean, because it's a very niche group of people and it's a very niche service, mm-hmm. Which is also the reason why I think you've been so successful in growing the business as fast as you have, because you are in a position to know what it feels like to be in these places and have someone take care of all of that for you, right? And you understand how it works and how, you know, the allowances and the pouch and supplementals and all of that, because you've lived it, right? And so I think you are uniquely positioned to help the community because you're a member of it. So, and it makes sense to use the things like trailing houses where the community hangs out, right?
Yeah.
And so tell me too a little bit about, because we had a very interesting discussion prior to the podcast recording where we discussed a little bit about your clients or customers or however you want to call them. I always say clients just because I'm in real estate, so it's a habit. But but I mean, so the foreign service community members, right, that come and use your service. And And you've noticed this interesting phenomenon where people are like, oh no, it's so expensive, right? And even when you were doing your initial target research, people are like, oh no, I can't afford that. And you and I were kind of talking about how interesting it is that, well, sometimes, I mean, to pay for a service, I mean, that is like a Costco trip. I mean, if you have a big family, I mean, you know, or you go to a fancy restaurant. So why is it, do you think that people are maybe willing to spend on something like something different, but not on the service? Do you have any insights as to why that might be?
So I think part of it is that we are not used to taking care of ourselves. We are used to certain things are covered, right? And that as they should be, but there is almost this badge of honor or rite of passage to suffer through a pack out and mm-hmm. suffer through a claim or a consumables or whatever it is. And
there's a long list of things we can do.
There is
suffering
there is.
Through list when you
suffering
move
through
or just
getting
the bureaucracy in general.
Right. Exactly. Suffering through a hardship. And so I think that some of that is
cultural,
going to become an older way of thinking, mm-hmm. kind of like I had to walk to school barefoot in the snow for 3 miles uphill, you know? And I also think with the pandemic and with everything, people are realizing you don't have to suffer just to suffer. You know, you can make choices and there are ways to better manage and delegate certain things out of your life. For example, we realized when we got a house with a yard, we are going to spend a lot of time taking care of that yard, or we're going to find somebody within our budget who will help us maintain it. Mm-hmm. We have mature trees, as you realtors like to say. And so we have a ton of leaves that come down in the fall.
But the leaves get crazy. It's crazy.
They get crazy.
Yeah.
We don't have the time. We don't have the energy. We don't have the backs to rake.
Complete. Yeah,
leaves.
Completely.
So we outsource it and we pay somebody. And so I think that part of it is we just, you know, beat ourselves up or over not getting things covered. And so what I'm finding is that really there are generally two groups of people so far who are getting the benefit of the service. And they are the younger generation who recognizes that, why am I going to go through all of this when I can get support and I can focus on my career or I can focus on my family or doing the things that I really want to do? And then the folks who have done it enough times that they're like, I'm done. I'm good. I don't need to keep suffering through this.
Yeah.
If I can get the support, I'm going to do it. I'm secure enough and I'm ready. So I think that's a very interesting dynamic. And I think a lot of people may not know that there are certain allowances that you can use in your budgeting when you're transitioning. You know, you have the foreign service transfer allowance and you have the home service transfer allowance or whatever. I could be getting that.
And there's all these miscellaneous ones too
miscellaneous
that you can use.
Yep. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there are ways to take that and to budget for it.
And I find it's kind of an interesting mindset because I've experienced it myself where, I mean, I've done plenty of PCSs too. And even like when you get your PCS housing set up, your temporary quarters, it's always like, okay, I can't go over the budget. I don't want to spend any money. You know, like it all has to fit in this little tiny box of like what I'm allowed. And I too had to make that leap from thinking, oh, this is so expensive to, you know, my time is valuable and my time is worth something. And for some reason, I find to, at least for me and you know, from what I've observed, people have a harder time sometimes paying for a service that gives them their time back, especially, you know, at a certain point in sort of their like career or financial journey, right? Especially when you're starting out, you don't have much, you're thinking, well, it's just my time, right? But time is the most precious resource we have. We don't get any more of it, right? And I find it really fascinating that people are willing to spend quite a large amount of money on physical, tangible things because it feels like you get something that lasts, but yet they won't spend that same money on a service that will buy them back not only just their time, but their sanity, just sort of, you know, making their life less difficult, as one of our earlier podcast guests, Lisa Telstra, is talking about, you know, in her podcast. Like, and I think even for me, it was a huge, huge shift. And it came after, you know, getting married, having children, having pets. And I remember being in the Miami airport at one time, PCSing from a WHA post. And I had a baby in front and I had one of those airport carts with literally 5 suitcases on. I don't even remember why. We had a dog crate with a very large dog, you know, and my husband was pushing something and he had the other kid. And I was like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? And I'm like, why isn't there, like, someone needs to help us on this other end with like something, you know? And like, I need to pay somebody and I just, that was the moment for me where I was like, you know what? I am never moving myself again. I am never going to do this to myself again. But I just had to get it to that point where there was so much going on that I was like, you know what? No, I'm done. Money is really nothing to me compared to having to go through the stress of all of this. And, you know, in the Foreign Service, we do it to ourselves all the time. Like, it's constant. It's constant. So, and it wears you down after a bit, at least it did for me. So, I mean, I think it's interesting that I think a lot of the people that come and use your services, they realize that obviously much earlier than I did, that this is worth it, right? And it's worth it to get that time back.
Yeah. And I think also it's not just time that some folks are getting back. When people are hiring us to support their pack out or their delivery, they're also getting that ability to kind of offload some of that emotional burden that they're mm-hmm. going through, right? You know, for us, it's not our move. So we're not tied up in it the way you are when it's your things and your space and you're processing everything that's happening around you. So sometimes it's hard to be clear and be able to make all of the decisions or to just kind of feel like you can get through the day. And mm-hmm. so when you're bringing somebody else in, you're not just getting time. You know, I had one client who had like a veterinarian emergency the day she was getting everything delivered and had to take her cat.
It's not stressful enough. Jeez.
Super stressful. And she said, can I leave? Can I go and do this and leave you here? And I said, go. Like,
this is what I'm here for. Yeah. I am here to help you. Yes.
So she was getting time to manage an emergency, but she was also getting kind of that sense of relief that okay, I can get through this day and not have to do it alone or feel alone. Or it's just a strange, you know, psychological thing that people go through.
Strange. Not so strange. I think it's normal, yeah. Right? I mean, moving is one of, you know, I don't remember, top 5 stressors in life, you know, and we do it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stressors, especially in the Foreign Service life, and they all add up. And PCS is sort of this flashpoint where it all comes to a head. And I mean, it makes sense that there would be a service for people that want to make it a much less stressful event than it already is, because we know it's going to be, right? It's just a matter of like, what level of stress is it, right? So Christine, for those members of our audience who are thinking about maybe starting a business like you did, especially when they're overseas, do you have any advice that you would give, like starting out as like a eligible family member thinking about a service or a product? Any tips you have for our audience?
So it's, well, certainly if you are serious about doing a business, you should absolutely, you know, go to your CLO office and talk to them about if you even can launch a business in your host country at that time, because there's those considerations are separate. And it doesn't mean you can't in the long run. You just want to make sure that if you go through all the work to set it up, you can actually launch. But I think that you should not be afraid to try. And that may sound, you know, like it's not really thought out. But honestly, like I am one of those people who most of my life has overthought almost every single decision I've made. And probably the reason why I love spreadsheets is because it's a really good distraction tactic to like build everything out and get all your ducks in a row. But you can't necessarily do that because you sometimes just have to give it a shot. And the thing is, if something goes wrong, and I've made mistakes and I've had things where I participated in stuff and it did not go the way I hoped it would. And you have to learn from it because mm-hmm. if you don't accept failure as a learning opportunity, then there's no way to grow and to evolve. You know, if you think about a large company like Amazon that started out as like a thrift bookstore and now we all rely on Amazon to get packages overseas. Could you, I mean, when they started in 98, would you have thought of that or whatever?
No, I remember, I'm dating myself, but I remember when they came out and it was literally just books. It was just books.
It was used books on top of that.
Crazy. Yeah.
So you learn and you grow and you just give yourself a lot of grace to make mistakes because it's just part of life.
I love that. And I've always heard too, and I think it's true from my experience, that the business grows to the extent that you do as the business owner, right? And so I think owning a business and running a business is really interesting from the personal development standpoint because it really like causes you to face things that you are not good at, right? Because like that'll hold you up. I've had multiple things that have happened to me running my business where I'm like, okay, my weak points are coming up because I can see them in the business, right? Like, for example, paperwork, really not fun. Don't like to do it. I like to ignore it. It like builds up, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it starts to cause me problems, right? So like I have had to grow and evolve as a business owner to get that under control. Still not where I would like to be, but you know, that's just one example of how I think, you know, for those people who are interested in starting a business, it is really a unique exercise in like personal development and self-growth. Would you agree, Christine?
Oh my gosh. Yes. You have to be willing to be honest with yourself and accept that you cannot be all things
to all people,
mm-hmm. to all people
at all times
yourself. And then, you know, of course my husband wants to give me all sorts of feedback that I have not asked for and listening to it and understanding that, you know, it all assume that it comes from a good place. Mm-hmm. Assume that it is with the best intentions when somebody wants to give you feedback and take out, like a lot of entrepreneurs also have very delicate egos, right? You know, because you are constantly putting yourself out there for criticism in many ways, or you just are putting yourself out there. It's a very vulnerable feeling, but if you get to the core of the message and understand that, yes, there is room for growth and yes, there is room to improve or to change it. And sometimes it doesn't need a lot of change, but just a little tweak and it can be better. It just, I don't know. There's a lot that comes along with being an entrepreneur that it's just an interesting life that you and it's an experience and you don't have to do it forever. That's the other thing too, that is interesting is that because you start a business does not mean that you have to have that business for the rest of your life. There is that concept, you build it to sell it. Not everybody yep. will do that or mm-hmm. what have you, but there are ways to be an entrepreneur, but not necessarily make it your life.
Completely. So, yeah. It's a really interesting journey. And I think there's a lot more left for both you and I in the business path that we're on. But Christine, it's been really lovely to have you on the show. And I am sure a lot of our listeners are going to be interested in checking out Diplo Dash since PCS season is coming up. So where can they find you on the web?
You can find Diplo Dash at diplodash.com. And then we also have Instagram, which is at Diplo Dash, and Facebook, which is at Diplo Dash Service. Come and find us, reach out. We would love to hear from you and definitely hope to support all of you. Well, not, we can't support all of you, let's be honest, but to support many of you this PCS season.
Well, there's going to be some very happy people getting Trader Joe's packages and their consumables and all kinds of other fun things from the United States. But it's been an awesome show, Christine. Thanks. Best of luck and happy PCS season.
Thank you. Happy PCS season.
If you like this episode and want more, make sure to give us 5 stars on the podcast player of your choice. And after that, check out our Facebook page. From there, you can learn about our other episodes, connect with our guests, and of course, share your own ideas for success. We'll see you next time.